Is somebody clapping and celebrating? Wow. It's a mega church conference. It's a love conference. It's an energy conference. Hallelujah. What a blessing. It looks like you have to have energy to have a mega church. Energy that comes from love. Beautiful. The Mega Church Conference is blessed to have some powerful board members. It's my privilege to introduce some of these board members to us who have graced this occasion with their presence. We'd like to acknowledge Bishop Jonathan Ekuban of the Springs of Life Church. Oh, please, God bless you, sir. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'd like to acknowledge Reverend Albert Datson of the Newness International Church. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We'd like to introduce or acknowledge Reverend Raymond Odum of Intimacy with Christ. Beautiful. And we'd like to acknowledge Reverend Peter Gauga. Reverend Peter Gauga is from the Mount. Reverend Peter Gauga is from New Light Pentecostal Church. New Light Pentecostal Church. Beautiful. Prophetess Lucy Mensah is in the house from Mount Zion Prophetic Church. And we also like to recognize Reverend Godly Antonio from the Liberty Cathedral. He's in the house. From the Good News Evangelistic Church, Bishop Godwin King Akpalu. And Apostle Josiah Obin from the Power Victory Chapel. Beautiful. Beautiful. Apostle Christian Soa from the Perez Chapel is also in the house. Reverend Denfu Oakley of the Christ Global Family is in the house. And Reverend Peter Donko of the Throne of Grace is in the house as well. And then, of the board members, last but not the least, we have our own prophet Adongo right here with us. Oh, yes. What a blessing. What a blessing. We also like to acknowledge some other churches who are also here represented. The Holy Spirit Ministry, Prophet Daniel Ayenibo. Prophet Daniel Ayenibo of the Holy Spirit Ministry. Reverend Moses Tete of the Key Word Chapel. And then the Potter's Church Chapel is also represented here. Potter's Church Chapel. Mission Church International, Reverend Raymond Beku is here. God bless you, sir. We have Bishop Andrew Papo of the Heritage Baptist Church with us tonight. And Prophet in Council of the Lions Gate Ministry is also in the house. And then Reverend Eric Awiate of the ICGC Cedar Temple. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'd like to acknowledge a couple of our UD or Macarius pastors. We have Bishop Kobna Amakudoku in the house. Macarius. Reverend Rubio Selmensa is in the house. The Macarius Ceremonial Archbishop. We'd like to acknowledge Reverend Kingsley Tete. Pastor Maoli Klu. There are one or two other people that I will come back again to continue the introduction and acknowledgement also. Please, if you don't acknowledge so far, we are still, you know, collating the pink sheets, and then you'll be introduced. Put your hands together. Welcome, Bishop Eddie.
Please be seated. It's getting better and better and better as the hours are rolling by. And tonight, for a few minutes, we have somebody that I called my friend in ministry, my neighbor in this enclave, a very anointed prophet of the Lord, a very good and sound Bible teacher of the word. If you listen to him, you know that he's very clear. When he's teaching, is clear. Even class one people can understand. So if you don't understand, it means that you are not called. And I'm so happy to have him. The name of his church is even prophetic. It's called The Keeper's House. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, join me with Jesus' joy. Welcome, Reverend and soon to be Dr. Francis Aubin.
Praise the Lord. Please, I want us to acknowledge our bishop. You are not doing it well. You have to do it like this. Bishop, we love you. Bishop, thank you for the opportunity to share this brief exhortation. I want to thank all of you also for receiving us. It's such a blessing, you know. First time I saw Bishop preaching, I was in one little corner, and I will never forget. You know, he preached a message I will never also forget. Preach a message about the mighty men of David at the Legon campus. And I said, wow, what a teacher. And it has stuck with me forever. I saw him, I said, hey, there are men of God in this country. And I'm so privileged to know the bishop and to hang around him to learn a lot of things. Just hanging around. Let something happen to me. Please help me honor the bishop. Bishop Eddie Adi. We celebrate him a lot in our church. Can you give the Lord a big shout of praise? Hallelujah. There are a lot of great men of God here, and I want to say I salute all of you, Bishop Ekuban, Prophet Adongo, Reverend Dustin. I mean, every one of you, thank you so much for also being here. Me, I'm a member of this church, so it's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. I have a few minutes to share some exhortation with you. I came with my wife. She's my co-pastor. She's called Yakoba Obin. And it's such a blessing to be here. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that is anointed. It will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a conference. Please take your seat. And it's a wonderful minister's conference. I want to talk about honor and contempt. Just briefly. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1 to 3. Why honor is important. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, it said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Number 3, he said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So in this verse, we see that the Apostle Paul is addressing children and how they should relate, you know, to their parent. And he's saying that it is important for children to do that in honor. In what? In honor. It's an exhortation, so you have to preach with me. You know, it's important for children to relate. When children are relating, they must have honor. You know, I think that's a point to make. You know, anytime a child is having a relationship, it has to be filled with honor. And one of the reasons why it is so is that honor releases the blessing in every proper relationship. It releases the blessing in every proper relationship. It says that this one has a blessing on it. Number 2, honor also determines wellness in a relationship. He said that it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. Whenever you honor, it's going to be well with you. That's to say that you can never honor and feel disadvantaged. In the long run, God Himself is going to make sure that it is well with you. That means that your wellness in ministry is in your ability or posture to honor. Number 3, and he said that honor fuels longevity in a relationship. Yes, he said that your days, it may be well with you and it may be long. You will not die young. Yeah, so for longevity to be guaranteed, one has to ensure that honor is in operation. Praise the Lord. Now, in scriptures or in church, I mean, I've not been in church for too long, but by the grace of God, I have seen that church is very, very powerful. In church, I have seen that when we are teaching about honor, we normally teach it from the perspective of the church member honoring the pastor. Is that not so? Or children honoring their fathers and all of that. But Jesus says something. Jesus says something in Matthew, and he said that, except you be converted as one of these kids, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So every Christian must have the ability to convert. Convert from an adult to a kid. It's a serious message. That one of the difficulties people will have, and it will affect their blessedness, wellness, and longevity in ministry, is their inability to convert as kids. And when you, I think it's a conference, so we can say some things. When you lose your childlikeness, you are not likely to see greatness. Jesus said, yes, except you be converted as one of these children, you will never be great, for the greatest of you should be like one of these kids. So, in this service, I'm actually going to preach about how to maintain honor for your church members. Because in the scriptures, honor is reciprocal. When you read, when the Lord was about to pass judgment on Eli, he said that I promised to establish your priesthood forever. But because you and your children, or you have watched your children to do what you have done, he said, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind, and this is what I'm going to say, is that the people who honor me, I will honor them. And those who dishonor me will be lightly esteemed. It means that honor is reciprocal, even between God and man. God says, you honor me, I will honor you. If you dishonor me, I will also dishonor you. Someone says, say honor. I can't hear you. Say honor. You know, me and Bishop, sometimes we talk, and one of the things he really uses to laugh at me is the fact that we have a certain kind of people in our church. You know, our church is not as big as this your church. This your church is a cosmopolitan church. It's an avant-garde church. It's a state-of-the-art church. This is the church in the city. When I was coming, I was seeing a traffic, very huge traffic. And all the cars there, they are like cars driven by human beings. Coming in this area, I said, hey, all of them coming to this Macarius church. In this area, you see that human beings are living here. Meaty members. Too powerful. You know, and one of my friends said to me that, I don't look like a pastor. Bishop, since he says it's an exhortation, I think we can do story. He said, I don't look like a pastor. He really looks like a pastor. And I said, I give it to you. And I said that you don't need to look like a pastor to pastor. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't see result that we expect to see as pastors. And sometimes we pray very powerful prayers, you know, but powerful prayers, they don't do anything. We only have to pray knowing that we have a powerful God, you know, because people have prayed powerful prayers and it has not gone well. You know, you have a powerful God that you should love and you should follow and stay with him as a child. Stay with him as what? A child. One of the things that as a young person I have seen is that many of my contemporaries are struggling to keep church members or to keep momentum of growth or to pastor in a way that you become affectionate to the people. You become, you know, you have some magnetism around you, you know, and attraction and favor. And one of the reasons why it's falling off is because it's becoming difficult for the priesthood to show honor to the sheep. Because in the place of power, it looks like we lose it, that the sheep also deserves some honoring. You know, so I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. Now, someone has entered into a contemptuous behavior with a partner, or who enters into a contemptuous behavior with a partner is risking losing that relationship. So let's take our church members as our partners. You know, the sheep, the shepherd. It's a very nice relationship. Once contempt comes into that relationship, there is a risk of losing the relationship. And in every relationship, husband, wife, you know, employer, employee, once contempt comes into the relationship, you risk losing it. When I look at Bishop Doug, I look at Bishop Saki, Bishop Adi, and the rest who are founding fathers, you can see when they start, you can see the honor they share, you know, among themselves. And it becomes very difficult for things to fall apart because there is honor. Are we together? Yeah, there's honor. We pastors, we are very powerful. And in the place where you are a pastor, you feel very, very powerful. You have to pinch yourself sometimes to feel like I'm a human being and I need to calm down. And if you are not careful, your superiority will make you lose a lot of people and a lot of things in ministry. Because in that place of power, it takes the Holy Ghost regulating your brain to honor a sheep that is very sheepish. A sheep that doesn't have direction. And I mean, My father used to insult in a kind of way. You know, one day we were walking and a sheep was standing in the middle of the road. And the driver honked, the sheep was still standing there. I said, ah, Igwani oya punchi papa. The sheep there is a very bad sheep. You know, sheep sometimes can lose their bearing, and there might not be many nice things around a sheep. And so if God doesn't help you as a pastor, you will always show contempt to a sheep. You will look down on a sheep. So contempt is a lifestyle of consistently putting a sheep down. Lifestyle, you find out that you have developed a lifestyle where you don't talk to the usher well. Where you don't talk to the people who serve you, and most of the people who serve closer to you are the ones who have the stick. All the time, it's like, and by the time you know, they are dead, they are willing to serve, they are pushing and all of that, but after a while, it's like, I don't even see my value, because when you show people contempt over time, they lose value for themselves. And when people feel like I'm not valuable here, especially in their own eyes, they check out. And I feel like for a young pastor like me, one of the things that maybe my contemporaries should begin to learn is how when God brings people around you, you must find a way to not show them contempt, but honor them in their weaknesses. Honor them in their, you know, in the process of their growing, making mistakes. Do you know that children have the right to make mistakes? We the children, it's our right. It's our right. I tell Bishop, it don't matter how much you love that your child, bang, look, it will go and you break the glass. Yeah, and he said, oh, it's our right to make mistakes, our right to not think well. And it's your responsibility as a parent to still love us, cuddle us, and put your hand around us. With our right is to misbehave. Your duty is to correct us in love. Yeah. The pastor should know that. You don't know that you are. Sometimes I see parents. Have you seen there are parents whose children are maybe the kid is 10 years, but he has a body of an 18-year-old girl? Yeah. You know, recently I was talking to one lady. She was very, very angry with her daughter. And I said, how old is your daughter? He said, it's 11 years. I said, let this child enjoy her childhood. Like, if you are not careful, these Montessori children, international school children, because they speak English, that took you 30 years to begin to balance. So if you are not careful, you will take their English as intelligence or wisdom or maturity. Meanwhile, no, it's inside. If you are not careful, you always be screaming here and there, hey, stop. You think their quality English means they can hold it together. No, it's just being a child. You know, so church members. I don't know if I'm preaching, I'm playing volleyball here. I don't know if I'm preaching. Look, if you want to be an executive pastor, your people will be where two or three are gathered. I'm telling you, because it's like you are coming, you are wearing white suit. When you are coming, everybody should rise and say, Daddy is coming, you know, and all of that. And like, man, fencing, come home. But, Charlie, you have to be ready for everything. Sometimes the ones you love most, they are the ones that will break your heart most. And it's still our right. Is it not our right? But you should have known. You should have known that you shouldn't do that. No, we will do. You know, we are going to do. You, our daddy, what are you also going to do? What are you going to do? If you are not careful, you will dishonor your sheep. You will show them contempt. You know, and contempt is acting with a feeling of superiority towards a sheep. You always see them, you are not wise. You are not intelligent. You are not spiritual. You are carnal. It's expressing a tone of scorn. Speaking towards a sheep with scorn. Yeah. When people do what is wrong. Like Jesus, look at the woman who was caught in the very act. I'm wondering why they said the woman was caught in the very act. When two people must be doing this act. And the woman ran. Do you know where the woman stopped? She stopped at the feet of Jesus. Everybody was chasing her for contempt. The place she stopped to stay, kneeling down, waiting to just die there, was at the feet of a man, a pastor, who thought that, Charlie, no matter whatever they caught you doing and how dirty you are, let's stay, let's be here. Let's just be here. A pastor must not show contempt to a sheep. Yeah. And it's very easy to love members who love you and who do some powerful things. But if there will be growth and momentum for very powerful church full of energy, we should have pastors who are ready not to show contempt to their flock. Are we together? Are you sure you are together? You can put your hands together for the Lord. I want to give you a few pointers and then I'll get out of here. Esther chapter 1 verse 18. You know, one day, I came to tell stories. So the king went into battle and lost a big battle and came back. And he had lost soldiers, he had lost money. So he, after a while, he threw a party. And he said that, he invited my friends, they are coming. Let them come and just let us enjoy. You know, you don't always throw party when you are in victory. Sometimes you only thank God that you are alive. You know, so he threw a party and he said that since I've been defeated and I'm a failure, there is something that I have in my life that is valuable. I have a beautiful wife who is Queen Vashti. And she has some powerful dancing moves. So even when everybody is thinking I'm a foolish man, I don't have good battle strategies, I'm not a great guy, I'm in failure, let my wife come and display her beauty and her dancing skills so that people will know that there's something left in my life. Then the king said, Vashti, come and display. She said, I won't come. Hey, major contempt. Then one of the youngest princes there is called Memucan. In verse 18 of Esther chapter 1, said, Esther 1:18, he said, likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, that shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. So Memucan said, we should destroy this queen because dishonor or contempt is pervasive and infectious. It opens the door for others to inflict pain. And that is why if you're a pastor and you start looking down on your sheep, you start showing them contempt, especially in their moment of weakness or when they are not balancing well, you just open the door and it becomes pervasive. When they see pastor talking to a certain person in a certain way, they also feel they can do same. And you see that the pastors you are raising, they also start talking to people like that. And the workers start talking to themselves like that. By the time you know, everywhere is very contentious. No honor in the system. And everyone deals with anyone. So it's just very pervasive and infectious. And I believe that it is difficult to hold the center when a relationship is full of contempt. If you are a pastor, no matter how anointed you are, you will lose people. Even Jesus lost people. Oh yes. And at the time, he asked them, he said, "Would you also go?" And look at what they said. They said, "To whom shall we go?" That is to say that some people will stay in church because of your person. He said, "To whom?" To whom? Your person, indeed. Who shall we? The reason why a member will leave one pastor and go to another pastor is because of the quality personality of the pastor he has found. Not because you are not anointed. He said, "To whom?" Question you have to ask yourself is that, are your members very happy to always come to you? Then he said, "We know you have the words of life," you know, and showing this honor is not releasing the words of life. So you can be a pastor, very anointed, powerful bishop, and all of that. One of the ways we keep meaty members, bishop, is to honor them. Tell everybody, when you are in the pool of honor, you feel good and you want to do more. You want to give more. You want to serve more. You know, I think it's a class one message, but you know, we have preached very deep messages. We need to preach the simple ones. Just serve him, you know. Because some people, they came into the church already broken. And if the person they have come to, we think people are in church because of Christ. Yes, ultimately because of Christ. But who pastors them is also important to them. And if your personality and your perspective about people is to look down on people or not talk well to people, then they will leave you at some point in time. They will leave you. So that's why you see that most of the churches, have you seen a prophet with a big church before? Bishop, I have not seen any prophet anywhere in the world. Typical ditto prophet, whatever you call, with a big church anywhere in the world. Not in Nigeria, not anywhere in the world. All the people with big congregation, they are very calm pastors, teaching the word, building the skill of grooming people, discipling people. God, prophet, think I'm anointed. At some point, I'm indispensable. I'm gifted. I'm powerful. Look at Joel Austin. Sometimes he's preaching, it's like he's telling stories. And look at the number of people who go to sit there. If we give that congregation to a typical prophet, he will scatter it. Oh, Bishop, when we are prophesying, you just watch when the word of knowledge is very sharp. Mami, sorry, why? Oh, dear, count, chen. Mami, count. Hey, obi mami, oh. Obi mami, umwa di wong. He said that when the anointing comes upon you, there is a high proclivity to misbehave. Yes. Yeah, and you know, when the gift is sharp, the penchant to look down on people because you are the esteemed man of God is very high. Yeah, you are just there, say, sorry. Whoa. Hey. Meanwhile, nipa ni betumi awo be 3 times. Yeah. And sometimes you are a big pastor, especially when you are of age, and God has decided to give you young people who are full of treasure. They are willing to give their money, serve you. God has brought them. You know, God will give you men, but you have to develop the capacity of keeping them. And one of those capacities is the skill of honoring the people God gives you. Just the skill. Look Look at Jesus. He saw Peter. He said, Peter, this one, he said, you die with me, you die with me. It's a lie. He was even playing with it. He said, Peter said, no, Jesus, I'm telling you, I've already died. Jesus said, okay, we'll see. He said, before, you would have denied me 3 times. When the cock crew, Jesus now looked at the direction of Peter. He said, Piero. Piero. How? You take it easy. It's normal. Tell somebody, tell Pastor, Pastor, cool down, calm down, calm down. Your body is too hot. Calm down, calm down. Pastor, calm down. It's not easy when people betray you and they are finding their way back. See, let the prodigal son think about the big brother being a problem, not you, the father, being a problem. Everyone in church can be bashing people who have done things not well, or who out of, you know, because Peter denied Jesus 3 times. That's it, tantamount to major disloyalty. And some people will be, you know, in the short run disloyal, but in the long run they will recover. So there must be a way for them to return. And when they are returning, you have some big brothers who will be at the gate. But you, the father, you cannot be behaving like the big brother. You have to be ready to throw a party. You have to be ready to rearrange them, dress them, and make them look beautiful in the eyes of everybody. Because there can be value in a man who has committed. Look at Apostle Paul. He said, my depth of dedication is also because the grace that has been shown me is too much. It's too much. Bishop, sometimes we have to pray that, you know, some people will falter and recover. Because it makes them stand well. You know, yeah, the beasts in church, they are too much. You know, recently I watched a boxing, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. And they beat Haney. It's the first time being beaten. So Mayweather and Zab Judah too were talking to somebody. And they asked Mayweather, what do you think? He said, I don't know what to think because I've never lost before. He said, but Zab, because Mayweather beat Zab Judah, you know, he knocked him down, he couldn't find his bearing. He said, Zab can tell us how he feels. You know, sometimes when you have not been in a state before, you don't even appreciate the kind of energy and the kind of boldness people are, the courage people are mastering to retrack their steps into an ordained garden that they are poo-pooed around. Yeah, the prodigal son is coming. No small matter. Oh, coming home after collecting everything and blowing it with prostitute. Hey! But let it be that in the mind of that member, if everyone will be opposing to me, I know I'm coming to my Bishop Eddie. And he'll protect me. You know, Bishop, recently one of the young girls in my church who is very useful in the church. One day I was there, I was praying and God told me that she was pregnant. A fine girl like that. So I called her, I said, I want to see her in the office. She came quickly. I said, God told me you are pregnant. What happened? He said, Bishop, once. Everyone say, echo me, once. Bishop, with an ex-boyfriend who lives abroad, who is married, and came down, And do you know the confidence with which the lady committed that act with the man? Because the man has been declared, after one child, has been declared by doctors abroad that he can never have a child again. So the lady too, in the moment of weakness, you know, fired the shot thinking that nothing can happen, then they happened. Because there's too much anointing in the church. What a devil. I told her, I said, well, you know I'm not happy with you, but one, you can't abort the baby. You are not going to marry the man. And I want to see you in church every time. You are my worker, and I don't want you to stop doing whatever, because we need to find a way of restoring people in honor. Because every time we are going out there, we are winning souls. People who are drug addicts, prostitutes. Then we have people who have already been in church for a long time. The word of God is in them. Then they committed something that takes them off. We are bringing new ones in. How about this one we have nurtured for a long time? This is easier to recover. Yeah. So I said, look, because you are very visible, it will not be easy. But we will be fine. Yeah. Say we will be fine. I can't hear you. Say we will be fine. Bishop, she was working in a place when she gave birth. You know, her boss, who was very hostile to her when she became pregnant, the boss, the lady boss, became a bit normal with her. Now, this is where our problem is. Imagine in a secular work environment, a tasking boss who is already hostile, changing the posture because of the pregnancy. Then the pastor becomes hostile because of pregnancy. Look at someone say, hey, what is this? Yeah. I mean, let's assume the boss is an unbeliever. Even that one. Hey. So, after she gave birth, Bishop, she got a big job offer that pays her like four times, I'm talking tens of thousands. Her commitment now is A class. She brought her sister to church, her brother to church. Her mother traveled all the way from Techiman to come and say, Pastor, I thank you. Hey, the whole family, they are my members now. Pastor, look at someone say, Pastor, shepherd, whatever you are. Don't let your broken heart make you show contempt. This ministry. Jesus says, Satan, Peter, wanted to sift you, but I have prayed for you that when you recover, encourage your brethren. You know? So, you have ushers serving under you. You have shepherds. You know, sometimes people really misbehave in church. And we cannot continue to misbehave. We have to find a way that in the misbehavior as pastors, actually, you are misbehaving. But, you know, the way I respect you, you know, I want you to shape up. And let's do this work in honor. You know, why shall be too short and blown? I feel they would be in the mona, and some ancestors are working in ana. You know, in the moment of power, you feel like saying it, and you say it, and sometimes people don't recover in a space. So, if they don't want to be disloyal here and misbehave here, after a while, you see that they disconnect. They disconnect, and by the time you know, it's plus one, minus two. Yeah. plus 1, minus 3, plus 1, minus 4. But I want to say that nothing gives us pastors the audacity to do some of the things we do and say some of the things we say and posture some of the ways we posture, even though God has given us the place of authority. Well, we have to show honor to the sheep. And imagine when you don't do that, you can't have growth, you will lose a lot of people, and by the time you know, instead of having a powerful church, everyone there is very tensed. Yeah, tensed because, and it even stifles the creativity of people. Because this thing that I'm going to do, Sanko here, Asembeba, you know, but if you are Samson, you need some small boys around you. Because after a while, as a pastor, you lose the sharpness of your vision. You lose creativity. And you will need, you know, you have the power, but you will need a small boy that will say, oh, I don't have my eye. Can you lead me to the pillar? You know what to do to the pillar. But how to get there is by the auspices of a small boy. People who are prone to mistakes. They can help you fine-tune your vision. And on that day, because you are skilled, you are experienced, you are anointed, you can have great victory just because you are able to rally amateurs around you. At this point, though, I would like you to stand up. I just came to say a little that Bishop told me to say, you know. All this thing I'm saying, I stole it from Bishop. Don't mind me. I'm a copy guy. I don't know anything. And by the special grace of God, I see us having a church of thousands. A church of hundreds of thousands. Yeah, you'll be so likable that, you know, sinners will come. Jesus was there. Zacchaeus went to climb a tree. He was very sure that Oga will not say that, Zach, you are a criminal. You know, even though we don't condone sin. But, you know, they were sure coming around Jesus. They were very sure. Friend of sinners. The church must be sinner friendly. Sometimes, you know, hardcore preaching. All the hardcore preachers, their members are few. Because some people will come to church Sunday morning, they will be licking sperms from Saturday night. I was here. And he still had the spirituality to hear the voice of God that go to church. If the Holy Ghost said come to church, who are you? Hey, shall I let them lick sperms on the chair and draw some maps on the chair small? Is the reason why we invest you are so. But Wabba, they have come. Have they not come? Charlie? They have come and they came to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't have a problem receiving them. Why should you have a problem? Charlie, you preach. Say, Charlie, Jesus loves you. A time is coming. Your body will be consecrated for him. When you are walking, people will be falling. That's how, from that place, he goes to the boyfriend and he says that, we are not doing a game. Because even, you know, Bishop, I used to preach character. And I used to preach, you hear the message, it will shake you. But I saw that the transformation was very small. And I realized that this kind of Jesus in the temple with the cane kind of preaching we preach, we rather start teaching people that righteousness exalt a nation. And when Job said that the integrity of a man shall preserve him like salt does, and let us explain to people the benefit of walking in integrity and character, rather than saying that you are this, you are that. People will do what they will do until they have a different insight into what they do. And we have the opportunity to open it up to them. Why are you hyped up and pumped up Sunday morning? And one day I gave an Assemblies of God pastor, my pastor, you know, a lift. And he said, Francis, and then may they come on. Somebody come on. Wow. So people come to church and they are not edified. It's edification that brings transformation. So it's the same message, but it depends on the approach. So I believe that we are great ministers of God. Praise the Lord. Bishop, thank you so much for the opportunity. Please lift up your hands. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to even be in the ministry and to be doing your work. Say, help me to see value in the sheep, in the flock that you have given me. Help me to see the beauty of the sheep, the value of the sheep. Can you just lift up your hands right now and begin to pray that one prayer? Father, that I will see the value of the sheep. I will honor the sheep and not drive them away. I will not talk them down. I will not make them depreciate in their own eyes their value, the value that you have given them, the identity you have given them. I will not destroy them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a state-of-the-art church, an avant-garde church, Bishop, we added one more word to it. If you are a tasty church, then give the Lord a big and a big clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you for the opportunity.